Blessed peace with my Lord so near, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. Oh, I'm leaning. I am safe and secure from all alarm. Oh, Lord, I'm leaning. Oh, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, just leaning on the everlasting. Oh, how bright. Oh, how bright my path grows from day to day, just leaning on the everlasting. Lord knows I'm leaning. I am safe and secure from all along. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. Well, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting. What have I to dread? What have I to dread? And what have I to fear? Just leaning on the everlasting arm. I have a blessed peace with my Lord so near. Just leaning on the everlasting arm. Lord knows I'm leaning. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. I am safe and secure from all along.
Oh, yes, I'm leaning.
Yes, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting.
What a fellowship.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine, just leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, just leaning on the everlasting arm. Lord knows I'm leaning. I am safe and I'm secure from all along. Oh, I'm leaning. Yes, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting.
What have I to dread?
What have I to dread? And what have I to fear? Just
leaning on the everlasting.
I have a blessedness.
I have a blessed peace with my Lord so near. Just leaning on the everlasting. Oh, Lord, I'm leaning. Yes, I'm leaning. I am safe and I'm secure from all along. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. Yes, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting. Lord knows I'm leaning. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. I am safe and I'm secure from all along. Yes, I'm leaning. Oh, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting.
One more.
I'm secure from all along.
Oh, yes, I'm
leaning. Yes, I'm leaning. I am leaning on the everlasting arm. I was glad when they said
unto me.
I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I will enter his gates
with thanksgiving.
Made me glad. Hallelujah. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh,
he has made me glad.
Oh, he has made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I was glad when they said, I was glad
when they said unto me,
just unto me. I was glad
when they said unto me.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I was glad
when they said unto me.
Oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I will enter. And I will. Glad. Hallelujah. Oh, he has made me
glad.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, he has made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh,
he has made me glad.
Yes, he has made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I was glad when they said, I was glad
when they said
unto me. Thank you, Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, just unto me.
I was glad when they said unto me.
Just let us, hallelujah. Oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I will enter, and I will enter
his gates with thanksgiving in my heart.
And I will enter his court with my praise. And I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. So I will enter, hallelujah,
and
I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter
these courts with my praise.
Just all my praise. And I will say,
this is the day
that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me. So I will enter, hallelujah. In my heart, and I will enter
his court with my praise.
Oh, my praise. And I will say,
this is the day
that my Lord has made me glad.
Oh, he has made me glad.
And I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I was glad when they said,
oh,
I was glad
when they said,
just to us, hallelujah, unto me.
Oh,
I was glad when they said unto me.
Oh,
I was glad when they said unto me. Yes, sir.
Amen. I was sitting here and thought, and it come to me that we had a problem. I'm talking about not now, but back then. You remember, you were the pastor, you had it. I come to Brother Moore and I talked to him. I said, Brother Moore, Jeremiah remembers this very well. They put Jeremiah up first. I told Brother Moore, Brother Moore, I want the church on Sunday night, I believe it was. We got a problem. And now I'm going to take the church back. I'm just going to set it straight. You and all the rest of you. Parnell, he was in on it. You'll never forget that, will you? Jeremiah never forget it. Put Jeremiah up. Jeremiah started rebuking me. I thought, that boy's in serious trouble. Serious trouble. He don't even know his ABCs.
Right.
What I mean in a sense.
Right.
You didn't know what you was talking about. And I think he'll admit it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think he'll admit it. They got him up. He run off all he had. And I set him down. I said, okay.
All right.
Brother Moore first thought I was going to take the church back. He hadn't had it too long. I said, no, this is not taking the church back.
Right.
This is setting you fellas straight.
Right.
So I forget how the story went, but I never forget Jeremiah didn't know what to do. He just sat down, took his seat, which that's what I told him to do. More or less, I don't want to say this, you know, we say young punk. At that time, Jeremiah just, they was using Jeremiah. That's what they was doing. And I thought, they ain't going to get by with all this. Here I'm the only man. I'm single out. The whole bunch was against me. And I was ready to take it all on. Y'all know that.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting mad. I was ready to fight if I had to. And it went. I told Brother Moore, Brother Moore, I ain't wanting the church.
Right.
That ain't what all this about. This is even bigger than that. And I wanted Brother Moore to understand the other brothers, Parnell. They was three of you, Brother Moore and somebody else, not counting Jeremiah. That they was just putting him as a leader, you know, that he could help them out. And Jeremiah, he meant well. You can't say he didn't mean well. Jeremiah, you meant well.
The heart was right.
Yeah.
That's why he ended up right.
He done everything he knew to do. And more or less, I just told him, sit down. You know, you get tired of listening to the guy that don't know what he's talking about. And I'm not saying this to hurt. I'm saying we all travel that road.
Right.
At one time.
Oh, yeah.
At one time, we all travel the road.
Amen.
So they told Jeremiah up there.
Yeah.
Jeremiah run off all he had. But he didn't have nothing. Jeremiah was saying, more or less, Brother Childers, I don't know how I'll get it all straight. He's to blame. More or less, you thought I was in fault. And your brothers was right. And I said, I just want the church on Sunday nights until I get this straight.
Right.
Until I get this straight. When I get it straight, Brother Moore, you ain't worried about me taking the church. I gave it to you. I didn't want it.
That's right.
But I didn't want what was going on. And they were, I seen it. I don't know whether I could say Brother Moore. Brother Moore didn't know what to say. Brother Moore said, you can have the church. You don't have to take it so to be. You can have the church. Brother Moore, I don't want the church. I want this trouble out.
Right. That's right.
In other words, you can have Sunday morning. He said, you can have my service on Sunday morning.
Right.
I said,
yep.
I don't want it. It won't work that way. I want it Sunday night all by myself. Nobody else had nothing saving me. You're all going to listen to me. Yeah, Brother Moore said, you can have my place. You can have it on Sunday morning. I remember that, Brother Moore. I said, I don't want it. If I wanted it, I'd keep it. But anyhow, I got up and I rebuked. I don't know what was even said now. I thought, hey, brother, don't even know what I'm talking about in a sense. They don't know what I'm after. And we talked, and I thought, I don't know how long I'm going to have it. Maybe 4 or 5 Sunday nights. I didn't know. But I was going to have it till trouble. I was going to whoop everything in this place. I had in my mind, if I had to do it on Sunday night, I want it where nobody else got anything to say. Brother Moore knew that. I don't want nobody else messing with it. I want to tell you all about it myself.
Right.
So we did. I'll never forget, Brother Moore. Got outside. All the brothers started apologizing to me, right, Brother Moore? Parnell and all, we want to apologize to you. We're sorry. We didn't know what you were even doing. Why you was taking the church on Sunday night. But we see after you talked at one meeting, Brother Moore, they's ready to throw in the towel. I thought, this is what I want. So, them brothers, they said, Brother Chiver, they took it one by one, apologizing. Each one of them, there's 3 of them. But I forget who the other one was, but it don't matter. The point is, God won. That's the point. God
Amen.
Won.
Amen.
He won the battle. I didn't have to have the church for a month. One service was enough for God. He said, He said, just let me have them. I'll whoop the hide off of them. They've got the wrong man. You're my man.
Right.
So I said, okay. Parnell said, I'm sorry, Brother Childers. I want to apologize. And was it you, Brother Moore? It was funny how God went to work just like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to whip everything in here until I won.
Right.
Because they thought that I were wrong.
Right.
They really did. Right, Brother Moore? Parnell, no. They thought. And they had Jerry. And then they said, Jeremiah started out kind of tickled me. I thought, Jeremiah, I don't know what's going on. But Jeremiah hadn't been preaching long, I don't think. So Jeremiah didn't even know what to do. He was just like a little plow boy. And I've always thought a lot of Jeremiah. I've never run him down, beat him over the head. I tuck him in with Brother Moore. I had no problem. I said, Jeremiah, I don't know, but Jeremiah will be all right. I thought to myself, Jeremiah will be all right. I said, it's these big fellows I'm after. I'm not after Jeremiah. They just put him up to start it out. And so they apologized. And that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. I didn't want nothing else. I didn't want Brother Morrison, Brother Children, you can have my place. You can have it on Sunday night. You don't have to start another meeting. You don't have to start a Sunday night service. I said, I want it all by myself, more or less. Y'all don't know what I really want. And start with, they didn't. But they said, but after you talked, Brother Church, we understood what you were after. And we apologized. And I thought, ain't that something? One meeting turned the whole thing around. Right, Brother Moore? Brother Moore didn't have no fight in him. Parnell didn't have no fight in him. And whoever that else was, it makes no difference. They none had no fight in them. They throwed in the towel. That's the truth. And Brother Moore knows I'm telling the truth. They throwed in the towel. And I thought, this is all I want. That they were going to give me a hard time. They was the big fellas, especially Parnell. But Parnell was the first one that throwed in the towel. We were outside. We had dismissed the service and got outside. And they said, Brother Shurs, we want to talk to you. We want apologize one by one. I said, okay. Parnell said his a little bit, and that was it. Brother Moore said his a little bit. That was it. They seen that I wasn't after harm or taking the church back or trying to make somebody look bad. I just wanted it right. And I meant that if I had to whip all of them. Back then, you didn't jump on me. Because Brother Moore will tell you, I had a fight in me. Too much. Too much of a fight. I don't care who I had to whip. I was in it to win. And I think about that every once in a while. You're mine. So the battle was over. They said, we won't. Each one of them wanted to apologize. I said, okay, you're accepted. That's all I wanted. And that's all God wants. If you're wrong, apologize. Just say, I'm sorry. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. So, I won the battle tonight. I'm just saying that. But that's true. If it's any battle fought, I'll win it. I hope you all get my point. You don't whoop the man that's God. Said, I've got it. You will get your tail whooped. So, Brother Moore never had to step down. He really didn't even have to apologize. And I don't even know. But I know they were three of them. Whoever the three was, I got a apology from all three of them. Quick done. One service. One night service. They all was ripped. God knows what he's doing. And that's all I'm going to say. God knows what he's doing. You got it.
When God does something, he does it right. That's another saying. What's good about it, though, is that, you know, you go through those things and you learn through them. I can look back now and with the revelation I have now and the understanding I have now, I would laugh at myself too, you know, because you see things a lot differently. But when God gets involved, it all comes out right. You know, I would never go back and try to justify any of that. But I'm thankful by his grace that he worked me through all that. I'm glad I'm a child of his. Because God knows it took him, and from that night on, he walked me right through and got me right where I'm at tonight. Not everybody got there, but I'm thankful that I got there. And you know, that was one of many rebukes I've taken. But you know, this church—I don't have much time for somebody who can't take a rebuke. You know, if you're a child of God, you will get rebuked, and it's because he loves you. And your flesh ain't going to like it at first. It'll be grievous, and it ain't going to feel good. But at the end of all of it, when you get past all that, you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. And at the end of it, you come out better. No, not at all.
From that time till this.
Yeah. I can't, not to even over-exaggerate, God knows I'm right. That night, I got right. I was sincere in my apology. Not everybody was, but I was real in my apology. I'm still here, but, you know, I can remember. God clearly just said, that I got a clear understanding. And it walked me all the way through. So I started seeing the importance of Brother Childers, you know. And some of it, and it's like I said, not making excuses, some of it was just a lack of understanding. It was, didn't know how all of it worked. Didn't understand the importance of the elder. And see so much clearly, God used Brother Childers. And to think, Brother Childers getting off his nuts, you know, but that's all behind us now, thank God, because I believe this message, I believe in the word that Brother Branham brought, that God gave Brother Childers, and like Brother Moore said, I don't have anything new to bring you. I'm identified right here, and I'm proud to be identified right here. You know, the one thing I'm thankful for is at this church, the Holy Ghost has never let us get behind. And notice how I said the Holy Ghost never let us get behind. See, I even have a deeper understanding of that because it's the Holy Ghost that leads and guides you into all truth. Amen. Now the Son of Man's here, and you're going to hear from the Son of Man. You're going to get your answer through flesh, and your pastor's ordained to lead you through. And I can preach that strong, but it's the Holy Spirit that is leading and guiding us into all truth. If you don't believe the Holy Spirit's leading Brother Moore, you better find you a man that the Holy Spirit's leading. Because you got to have the Holy Spirit in the mix somewhere or it ain't going to work.
Amen.
But I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit has never let us get behind. I believe that. I mean, even when you talk about having the right spirit, you know, I've had the right spirit for a good little while now. I'm not behind on that. And that message is true. I believe that message. But God's never let me get behind. I enjoyed the message this morning. I enjoy hearing about doctrine. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm up here because I want to get my part in. I've only got one time so far. I want to get a couple times in this thing because I love doctrine.
Amen.
I'm enthused about doctrine. So you know, preacher's funny. There's days I don't want to preach ever again. There is. I'm not lying to you. Brother Moore could tell you I've called and said, I'm done. I'm retired. And then there's days I get and I say, get out of the way.
Amen.
I'm enthused. I'm ready to go.
Amen.
So I want to have my point. I want to be on record. And, I love what we get here. I love the word that we get here. You know, this word is what will lead you and get you through life. It is a light into your footsteps.
We're not trying to make nobody look bad.
No.
We just want it right.
Right. You know, even when we get rebuked, it's not because somebody hates you. Somebody's trying to pick on you. We just want it right. God's actually trying to help you.
Amen.
You know, if you listen to what God gives you here, it will help you. You know, I was thinking about that the other day because I'm like everybody else. I've done times where I've tried to do my own thing and haven't listened, had to get rebuked. I'm in the same boat you are in, but you know, if you listen to God, that's what will make life a little easier on you. Doesn't mean that you won't go through trials when you listen to God. Doesn't mean there won't be some hard times in your life. But you know, if you listen to God, it'll make those bumps a little bit less in your life. You know, you have a more peaceful marriage if you listen to God. You know, I was talking to the Word Made Flesh the other day. The Word Made Flesh said there's very few that's listened to everything I've said. You know what happens when you don't listen to everything that God says? It's going to create some bumps. You're going to have some arguments in your marriage that maybe you didn't have to have. You know, I'll make it simple. I'm not even trying to be condescending on you. Like I told you, I'm guilty too. But God, you need to listen to God.
Amen.
You know, not everybody has the same footsteps. We know that too. Yours is different than mine. Mine's different than James. James is different than Sister Renee's. I believe that God's blessed my footsteps. I believe my footsteps have been ordained. I believe all things have been made to work for my good. And I don't think my walk's any better than your walk. But I do think we should listen to God.
Amen.
Because without even being critical, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, there's a lot of people in a generation a little bit younger than me that aren't here anymore.
Right.
I'd say 90-95% didn't listen to all that God said.
Amen.
If I was going to be honest about it. And you know what? They're going to heaven. That's what's great about it. They're going to heaven, Brother Deskins. I'm glad they're going to heaven. I love them, and they're my brothers, and they're my sisters. But, you know, all that their decisions have done, because, you know, sometimes we think, oh, everything I do is just God's going to be in it. But everything you do is you're going to, if you make that bad decision, you're going to feel some lumps. You're going to feel some bumps.
Amen.
I watch people that didn't listen, didn't go to college, and you know what? They're out there struggling. And that's not me looking down on them. That's just the facts of life. Trying to figure out how to get a job and how to make a job to make a living. But, you know, when they were 18, when they didn't have any responsibilities, it would have been a lot easier to do that than it is when you're older. Now, if you're older and you got it in you to do it, go back and do it. I'm not putting you down, but I'm just trying to use that as an example. Listen to God. It'll help you. Listen to God to find the right mate. It'll help you. Listen to God how to, in your marriage, it'll help you. Because if you go out here, if you're not coming in here to take anything away from it, you're wasting your time.
Right.
God can help your marriage. He can help you at your job. He can help you with how to be a father, how to be a mother, on and on and on. And it's not that I'm trying to send you out here thinking, oh, I've been a failure. No, we're more positive than that. I'm just trying to make a point that listen to God. Don't be in that group where Brother Moore said there's very few that's listened to everything I've said. I accidentally told you who told me that. Sorry. But it's the Word Made Flesh anyhow.
Amen.
We should listen to what God says. You know, you guys knew who it was anyhow. But you know it will help you.
Amen.
Because otherwise it creates struggles. You know, people that got somebody that didn't believe the Word like they did, you know where they're at today? Struggling. And you know, they're struggling so much because you could even do that and say, you know what, you stay home, I'm going to church, but I'd say 98% of them don't even do that. They got pulled all the way out. They're struggling. They didn't listen to everything God told them to do. I just want to make, I like to use these things that God says sometimes, because God don't say anything for nothing.
Right.
You know, he can use them and come in here and help us. And we should take it. And it made me talk to myself. But that's not my message. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to preach this morning on the Godhead. And I love that. There is one God.
Amen.
The Lord thy God is one. You would never convince, and I know there was a deeper message than just one God, but you'll never convince, Brother Bram said, a Jew, that there's more than one God. Because there is only one God.
Amen.
But what's great about that God is he has started manifesting himself in many different forms, had many different attributes, but still one God.
Amen.
To the point where you've got to make yourself God, and part of that Godhead yourself.
Right.
If you can't, you're going to be weak.
Right.
And that's what got me thinking about what I thought, I'm thinking about tonight. So let's read a scripture. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So there's a group of people that will not have their name blotted out. Now turn with me to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. I want to jump down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were celebrating because they could cast out devils. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Think about that. We love signs and wonders and miracles, and they are good things. But Jesus said, don't just stop there and rejoice in that only, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh, my. I want to talk about the different classes of people tonight. Because, you know, when you get all set down to it, I was thinking about this, is though the foolish virgin are not born again today, you know what? When it's all said and done, they got the same eternal life that you and I got.
Amen.
They come from God. They got to go back to God.
Amen.
Souls on the altar are going to have the same eternal life you and I got. And though they're in a different covenant, in a different way, in different things, they're going to get there just like you and me. And I want to talk about a few of these things tonight.
Amen.
But, you know, I was even thinking, because I remember one time I was fellowshipping with somebody in this message that at that time was in a big-time message church, and we started talking about the foolish virgin, and they had no confidence at all of how to rightly divide that.
Right.
And people don't know, that you know, they think you take too much upon yourselves when you start talking about classes of people.
Right.
Because they're let alone sure themselves,
right,
how in the world are you going to be able to talk about somebody else?
Right.
But I'm thankful in here tonight, because I was even thinking about this today, that I see myself in that Godhead, Brother Jim. That I come from God and I'm going to God. And I am part of the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I am God in flesh. I have the full word for the hour, to the point that I understand every man and woman I come across.
Amen.
Now that'll make a lot of people mad.
Amen.
To even be able to say talk like that.
But
they weren't sure who was going, who wasn't. They weren't even sure they were going themselves. And I thought, if I can't get you to see you're going yourself, I might as well not stop and worry about anybody else. So when we talk about these classes of people, the first group we're going to talk about is the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, there's only one form of eternal life. That's God. There's not multiple forms. That's why Satan, though he was created by God, Satan's not eternal. Because Satan does not have eternal life. God, Elohim, is the only form of eternal life there is. And, you know, Brother Bram used this example of a cloth when you're going to go sew something. He said, you know, you might make a section of that cloth and make the main dress out of, but you don't waste the remnant. And that's one big eternal cloth. And so when we talk about these classes of people tonight, we're going to talk about an eternal group of people. Every one of them is eternal.
Amen.
Just different roles, different jobs, different ways that they're coming in, but they all are part of that eternal cloth.
Amen.
It has to work that way.
Now, I get excited talking about this because, first of all, it lets me know who I am. And that's the most important thing there is. Forget worrying about anybody else if you don't see who you are. If you don't know who you are, don't worry about your loved ones. If you don't know who you are, you'll never understand the people that treat you good and why that's even important. If you don't understand who you are, you'll never even understand that you'll be sitting with Christ in the judgment. The saints will judge the world. So you got to start with yourself. So I want to start with the bride. And I want to point a few things out here. Invisible union of the bride. Brother Branham says, life is a sacred thing to God. You know all life comes from God. He's the only giver of life there is. Even temporal life is given by God. Eve, when she had Cain, you know what she said? I got a man from the Lord. You know, that confuses people. If it's a man from the Lord, how can it be serpent seed? Well, every life is from God. There's no life that's breathing today. All things were made by Him and for Him, and by Him all things consist.
Amen.
And life is sacred to God. And I'm going to tie into two books with this message tonight. And it's recorded in a book. God is the author of life. You know what I love about this? I'm excited to preach on it because this is not new. This is, we've heard this, and it's exciting to me to talk about this. I mean, just that one line, there's a couple messages. God's the giver of life. He's the author of life. All life's, you know, recorded somewhere. Our natural life here is just a perversion. See, all this ties even to what we've been preaching. It really should be the right life to begin with, but it's perverted by the natural birth.
Right.
We've learned you weren't supposed to come by sex. You were supposed to come by a spoken word of God.
Right.
So that natural life came perverted. The first life of your first union you were joined with by birth, by nature, a natural act, a natural human being associated man and woman together, associated together in sexual affair, and brought your first life here, and that's associated with sin and death. Jumping on down. But see the attributes in God. Now it was nature associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you was your nature by natural birth. Naturally, you love the world because you are the world and part of the world. That's right. Your desires of the nature was to love the world. That's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You can't say, I'll divorce him and hang him up there for another occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorcement. He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. Changing of the soul, you can't clean it up. You can't patch it up. It's got to die. The soul that sinneth has to die. That first nature came the wrong way, and it's a temporal life that has to die, and you got to be born again, and the life of God's got to come into you. Let me get down to here where I'm trying to get to, though. See, I missed out on reading some of these things the other week, so I'm going to enjoy them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my time.
Amen.
You have to be reunited again with another nature. Your name of your first nature, now here's where we're getting to, was born and put in a book of life.
Yeah.
Your first nature, the one that came the wrong way,
right,
was put in a book of life. That's the reason why I read those two scriptures, and we're going to bring all this in here.
Not in the
Lamb's book of life. We're going to get there. Amen. That's exactly right, Brother Childers. Now listen to this. All your deeds was wrote in it too. In the book of life. Every white lie you told, recorded in a book. Everything you stole, recorded in the book. Every curse word you ever said,
right,
recorded in a book. Every drink you ever took, recorded in a book.
Amen.
And I don't care how good you cleaned it up, it's filthy rags recorded in a book.
Amen.
Everything you've done under that nature was put in a book called the Book of Life.
Amen.
Amen. You don't want to just be stuck there. We're going to talk about a few of these things. Well, and I'm dumbing down because this is the point I want to make. Well, you separated from your first union by spiritual death. I'm starting with the bride. I'm talking about us. You are born again,
amen,
or remarried again to the new spiritual union, not of your natural life, of the things of the world, but of eternal life. Has nothing to do with the natural. Your old book is gone. With your old union. So every curse word you ever said, every lie you ever told, every thing you ever stole was completely wiped out and put in God's seal of forgiveness. Oh my. But we're not talking about your natural life anymore. We're talking about eternal life.
Amen.
We're talking about God's own life. We're talking about that eternal cloth that never sinned and cannot die.
Amen.
That is pure, spotless, and sinless, brother Childers. That's the real you.
Amen.
And that real you is eternal.
Amen.
Not of the natural life, but eternal. Your old book is gone with your old union. Your name has been transferred. Oh, my. You say, do you mean to tell me my old book, God put it in his sea of forgetfulness? You stand perfectly before God.
Amen.
That's the bride of Jesus Christ. Because
yes.
A lot of these other classes I'm getting ready to talk about haven't been born again yet.
Right.
They eventually get eternal life, but we're the ones that's the recipient of this right now.
Amen.
We came the wrong way, but we recognized our day in this message, and God wiped out that old nature and put all your past, present, and future in the sea of God's forgetfulness,
amen,
and don't even see it, and you are spotless, and your name's been transferred to the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Yes, we are. Brother Childers, we're in agreement tonight. I'm glad we are. You stand perfectly before God. Your name is now in the new book, not the book of life.
Right.
Listen, brother, I told you. But the Lamb's,
amen,
book of life.
Amen.
What the Lamb redeemed.
Amen.
Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life.
Right.
Your marriage certificate, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Listen to this, and we talked about this. You're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Look up the word. The word don't mean forgiven. The word means justified. Oh, my. The real me. Not what came by sex, but that didn't stop God. He was going to have me anyhow. And he even made me look the way I was going to look and have a lot of the characteristics he wanted me to have. He just came the wrong way. He needs something to die so he can inject his own life inside of there.
Amen.
Oh, my. For instance, you heard I got drunk. In other words, told those lies, stole. Done some evil things and everything. Then you come around and say to me, you found out I didn't do them. And you say, I forgive you. Brother Brandon says, forgive me. I didn't do it in the first place. The guilty one's been killed. The guilty one's been wiped away.
Amen.
The guilty one is in God's sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
We can't forget because we're human. But God actually knows how to put things out of his mind.
Yeah.
And every mistake you've ever made, and every problem you've ever caused, and every sin that you've ever manifested is not even in the mind of God. Now, if I did it, I'm guilty, and you could forgive me, and I wouldn't be guilty, but I'm not justified because I actually done it. But the word justified is though you've never done it. Amen. It's not even regarded at all. How's it done? It's God's book of sea of forgiveness, your old book in marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. Now,
memory. God don't even, he don't completely away with it.
Amen. You're perfect before God.
Yeah.
That first group, that's actually happened to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
She has been born again, and her name has been transferred to the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
Now, we were very familiar with Revelation 13, chapter verse 8. That happened as far as God was concerned before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Before I even had a chance to mess up, God already transferred my name. Down here, the manifestation just took place.
Amen.
The actual accepting and the not letting the old nature transfer to the new. Now, why I want to bring all this in is because I read the other scripture where he said, I will not blot out your name from the book of life.
Right.
You know what that means? That means there's some people that could have their names blotted out of the book of life.
Will be blotted out.
That's right.
And some won't. Talk about the book of life.
Amen.
But in the Lamb book of life, no name would ever be blotted out.
Let's talk about this book for a minute. Because Brother Branham made it clear, in one sense, it's just one book with two sections. One section being called the book of life, the other be called the Lamb's book of life. But when it's all said and done, it's just where God is recording life. And I'm glad to know, Brother Jim, and I wanted to start with the bride, my name cannot be removed off the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
I'm eternal.
Amen.
I can't lose it. You know, when you talk about the bride, that the scripture comes to mind is we were chosen in Him.
Yes.
In Him.
Amen.
In the Godhead. Before the foundation of the world. God can't be lost. I can't be blotted out no matter what I do. I belong to Him. I come from Him. And I cannot sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. God wanted a bride. He was alone. He wanted a wife, just like a man wants a wife. He wanted a wife too. And it was a part of Him. It was an attribute of Him. And He said, I'm going to have me a wife. And to be eternal, you always had to be a part of God.
Amen.
So if you're eternal, your name cannot be blotted out of the book of life.
Amen.
So here's the bride. In God's mind, before the foundation of the world, built and had to be manifested, but she's standing on her feet today.
Right.
He's come down because every name has been revealed now. Every name that needs to be transferred has been transferred, truthfully. In one sense, it was done back there. In the other hand, you don't have any more than those seven names up there anyhow. You're coming in under one of them.
Right.
You say, well, how about my individual name? Identify with your message.
Amen.
That's your name.
That's right.
When it comes to this part of it.
Amen.
But anyways, here's the bride. Eternal. Elect. Part of God's threefold purpose. All that was in God, He poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, He poured into the bride. And that group too, He's going to take back and live in the Garden of Eden condition. The bride of Jesus Christ. We know who we are. And you got to first see who you are. Or as I said at the beginning, it ain't going to help you much to figure out who everybody else is. But you were born again. And these two books that we're talking about, when you got here the first time, your name was on that book of life. But when you got born again, it was wiped off that section and transferred into the Lamb's book of life. That's just a pictorial of it, meaning no longer did you have the old nature. You now have a new nature. No longer was it Satan's life in there. It was God's own life, the real you manifesting on the inside of you. And you can't be lost. There's a lot of decisions you make down here that can make life easy or hard, on and on and on. We could go through that. But when it comes to eternal life, you can't touch it. Cannot be lost. That's how this thing works. But here's these two books, because I want to bring them in as we talk about these classes. Because there's another class here, and let me talk about another group here for a minute. I want to talk about a few things. Turn with me to Revelation, the 17th chapter. Read one verse, verse 8, Revelation 17 and 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, now listen to this, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So there's a group whose names weren't ever even written, Brother Childers. You don't have to turn over there. Proverbs 16:4 says, God created the wicked for the day of evil. Now, I want to talk about this group for a minute, then we're going to get back into some of these other fun groups. But you know, there's some group of people whose names are not even written in the book of life. Now, I got a quote. Brother Brown said, their life's recorded somewhere. It's just not in the book of life. He used an example of Pharaoh, who was raised for a specific reason to cause pain to God's people and get them to a situation where they wanted to leave. But their names weren't even in there. Think about Hitler's. Think about Osama bin Laden here recently. On and on and on. There's a group of people that were not even written in the book of life. Just the wicked, made by God to help get God's people to where they need to be. Hitler was a bad man. Evil man. But you know, God used him to force the 144,000 back to the homeland. Amen. He was raised for a purpose. His life's recorded somewhere, but it's not recorded on the book of life. They have no chance at all to be quickened. Because in non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. You can't save Hitler, I don't care how much you love him. You can't save Pharaoh, I don't care how much you love him. And you won't love him because they're of the devil. And it's not to try to be evil, but God made it for a specific purpose.
Right.
And they don't have no shot at eternal life at all. They're just evil. And I could give you a few more. But that's enough. Pharaoh, Hitler, Bin Laden, name it. People just out here, you know what Bin Laden done? He was used of God, getting the world in the condition that it needs to be in, pushing it forward to us to get to World War III. He was made by God for a very specific reason. On and on and on. There's a group of people, names not even in the book of life. But you know what? They were made by God. God's the author of life. God's got it recorded somewhere. Brother Abraham just said it's not in that book of life. So I wanted to bring them in. I want to talk about them. Because you know, even today, Pharaoh wasn't the last one. There's some evil people in this world, Jim. There are just some wicked, created for evil, to do evil things. We understand who they are. We know how to place them, know where to put them. We understand how to place all these classes of people. So that's one group. They're not part of that eternal cloth. So I wanted to get them separated off here so you can understand that. Now let's go over to Matthew 27. I'm going to read a scripture for each one of these classes of people. There's more than one scripture for them, but I'm going to at least give you one for each so that you can see them and know that the Bible talked about them. What I love about Brother Brown, no matter how simple the doctrine was, he always had a scripture that would connect into it. I don't care how smart you think you are, how educated you think you are, how much you think you know, if it don't tie with the Word of God, drop it, drop your thinking, and make sure it dovetails with the Word of God. Because Brother Branham, our prophet, did. Jesus did. Paul did. Brother Childers did. Brother Moore did. We should too. And I'll just get down here, Matthew 27, verse 51. We're going to talk about the Old Testament saints. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and come out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. You know, that's what happened back there at that rapture and that resurrection. But that was the Old Testament saints. There was a group of people. There was the Moses, Abraham, David, Joshua, Caleb, Noah, on and on and on, that was back there in that Old Testament that come under a different situation than us, but they were still part of God's eternal cloth. They were his friends. Friends to the groom. You know this thing, God is a perfect storyteller. You know, when you really read books, they're just cheating off God in a lot of ways. They're just taking God's story and trying to recreate it another way. But God's really the perfect storyteller.
Amen.
He's the one that had this thing in his mind before anybody even had an inkling to write something.
That's going to happen again.
That's exactly right. That scripture right there is what makes us be able to say for about 30 or 40 days,
right. This
rapture will happen up here. And the bride, the sleeping saints, and the living saints will appear to many. Because that's going to happen just like that again.
Amen.
It'll be about 30 to 40 days.
That's right.
So amen.
That's right.
But those Old Testament saints were real. Yeah. Part of God's eternal cloth.
Amen.
They were friends to the groom. And any good groom wants his friends part of his wedding.
Amen.
Any good groom wants his friends to celebrate with him.
Right.
Any good groom wants people that are right by his side to help him along the way.
Amen.
That's those Old Testament saints. And they've already been raptured. Paradise, Hades done away with, and are up there fellowshipping with
Amen.
Jesus as we speak.
Amen.
You know what? Eventually we'll meet them. They're going to be at the wedding supper with us. They have to be.
Amen.
They're already there. Just waiting on us in some ways. But we'll get there. They're going to be in the city with us. Because
yeah.
The Bible said Abraham looked for a city made by God. They'll be in that city right there with me and you.
Amen.
So those Old Testament saints are a real eternal seed of God.
When this happens, it'll be a 30 and 40 days again.
Amen.
Like it was back then.
Right.
When they rose, they spent about 40 days up here on the earth.
Right.
Now, Brother Branham says, there'll be another group like that show up here.
Amen. Exactly right. But you know these Old Testament saints, you know where their name has to be? Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, right.
And it's all said and done. Anybody that's eternal's name will end up in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because that's the book of eternal life. That's God's own life. So that's where they're at. Their names aren't removed, Brother Don. They got to stay there.
Right.
They've already got over there. Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're very familiar with this one. This one gets us excited because it has something to do a little bit with us. I want to read in two places. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. I'll stop right there right for a minute. The oil signifies the Holy Spirit. The wise virgin signifies the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We've been born again. Our name's already been transferred. And when the bridegroom comes back at the rapture, guess who he's taking with us? The bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that other group were virgins nonetheless.
Right.
The problem is they're sitting here right now not born again. Brother Branham, he talked about them. He said they're out there in those denominations.
Right.
He talked about them, said they're good churchgoers.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are just people trying to push God's word forward the best that they can.
Right.
Helping us out, make good neighbors. That'll help treat us good. Out there in those denominations, those two angels, Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, went down to preach to them. But they're virgins. They're not sinners. They just weren't born again and go in the rapture.
Right.
You know where their name's written right now? In the book of life. Because they still have an old nature.
That's right.
But you know, I got a quote up here, and I'm going to run out of time, but we got a quote up here where it says, when they come up in that second resurrection, they go into eternal life.
Right.
In other words, their name is not removed off the book of life. Their name is transferred to the Lamb's book of life, Brother Childers. They get a new soul. They get a new nature. They are an eternal part of God's cloth.
Amen.
Foolish virgins, you heard us talk about them. Some of them are just good churchgoers. If you go on down to verse 31, and I'll paraphrase it to save some time, They go up to this judgment because there's going to be a general resurrection, the great white throne judgment, and Christ is up there separating them as sheep and goats. Goats on the left, they will be destructed out of God's mind. Sheep to the right, go into eternal life. Full version, the righteous, they go in. Why, how do we get to go in? You, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me.
Right.
When you gave me water, and you gave my people water, you gave me water. Amen. When you fed my people, you fed me. When you visited my people, you visited me. This group of people was an eternal part of God's gene.
Right.
Had a seed just like you and I. They're down here right now helping you and I, even today. Some are out there being good churchgoers, preaching what they know, trying to make good neighbors, treating us right, Brother James. But you know, in that class too, I find out, Brother Destin's, there's some people don't go to church and they give me a glass of water. Some people don't go to church and they fed me. Brother Childers, those group of people will be right there with me. And people were afraid to say this. I rejoice in this. I realize that my job is to preach this word, and I'm not trying to preach the fullest burdens. I know that. My message is not even for them. But I am here, and there's many that walk around me, Brother Destin's, and treat me right. And that's their point of manifestation. They have to manifest it. It's not like it's by chance or they got to figure out a way to do it. It'll happen because it's in them to happen. But the manifestation's got to happen. And I'm walking around down here, and they get to treat me right. It's the person that wanted to get in the hole and dig out dirt for you, Brother Childers. Might be looking like a sinner, but they know how to treat the bride right. They treat us better than some of these message people that look at us down, put us down, talk about us, judge us. They're just willing to say, what can I do to help you? And they'll be in heaven with me, and I'm excited about that. There will be people that still get born again on this side and will go in the rapture. But I'm convinced I'm here letting foolish virgins manifest all over the place, Brother Deskins. I think we forget about that sometimes. I think I get more foolish virgins than I get bride in now. Yep, I'll make that point clear here in a minute. That's exactly right. You got to keep it separated. But you know what? In type, there was more on Noah's ark that went over in the judgment than Enoch, who was just one.
Amen.
There's more foolish virgin getting saved today than there are brides.
Amen.
It's the end time. It's the way it's supposed to be. But these group of people were the unwise virgins. They don't have oil now. They're not born again. So they don't currently have manifestation of eternal life. But when they get to that white throne judgment, they'll be separated as sheep and go into eternal life, and their names will be transferred to the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's right.
It's got to be that way.
That's right.
Because all God's eternal seed. What I'm talking about is eternal cloth. They got to be there.
And that's what Brother Branham taught, and the church world don't teach that. Don't know anything about it. That's the difference in the prophet's message.
It is the second resurrection wherein the five foolish virgins come up. Notice they were virgins. They did not have the Holy Spirit, so they missed being the bride, while the five wise who had oil became part of that bride. But these people, being a separated, God-loving people, and trying to abide in the Word according to what they knew of it, and being a help in the work of the Lord, will come up at the end time. They will miss the millennium because the white throne judgment is after the millennium, which you can see by these truths is beautiful. These people had their names in the book of life, and their names remain. That's another class of people.
Another class.
They may not be manifesting eternal life right now, but one day they will.
Amen.
And they were right in part of God's mind, and they'll be in heaven with us, and it will be after the millennium. They'll come up at the white throne judgment, and they will go in. I meet them every day. You meet them every day. Church world don't touch it.
Most people in this
message are afraid to touch that because they don't know who's who. But I'm like Jesus. I know who's the father's the devil, and I know who's the Alexi to God. I know who treats me right and who doesn't. What I love about foolish virgins is there's something about them. They know how to treat God. They can't help it. They just can't help but be nice to God. It's in them to be. There's something in there. It's like a magnet. Deep call to deep. They can't help but just say, there's something about this person. Let me help this person.
Amen.
Let me get some food, or let me visit them, or let me help them dig out a hole, or let me help them with a flat tire, on and on and on. They'll be there right with us. I'm looking forward to those people. I've met a lot along the way.
they don't go along with us. Even the people in this mansion, they think we want all.
They do. Now, loved ones is a whole other doctrine, and I'm not going to spend much time on that. Because when it's all said and done, loved ones really are going with us in the rapture as part of the bride. We just talk about them as loved ones. So I'm going to leave that to the side, but I want to throw them in there. They're going to go in the rapture with us. They were part of us. They were ordained to be who they were, to know us, love, be loved by us, and that's their way in, but they're part of the bride. I want to get to two more classes. And then I'm going to get out of the way. I'll be quick with them. I just wanted to throw them in there. Because they're part. You know, these people are all going to be in heaven. You know, I love it, and I'll even put this way. Without creed or dogma, without trying to make a point, there's going to be people there, I believe, that I don't even know how they probably made it. Just because God is a giver of life.
Amen.
I'm sitting here probably being judgmental on God saying, that's just a critical spirit and your two rims. They're going, you know. They'll get there. You know, Brother Bram, I think, talk about the Indians and things. All wrongs will be made right. There'll be innocent people there. Just somehow, some way, God will make a way for them.
Amen.
And I believe that. So when you look at this world and you look at the people that aren't nice to people and they mistreat people, don't worry about it. God's got it covered. Worried about the Indians, not saying all that was right, but God's got it covered. Got to take care of every bit of it. So don't worry about that. Revelation of the 6th chapter. Verse 9. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altars the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. You know, Brother Brandon made a comment. He said, why would God give them white robes if they weren't going to have eternal life? And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Souls on the altar are the Jews. Down through the ages. You know, Israel was blinded for our sake. Because Israel rejected the coming of the Messiah, but they were blinded for our sake. But there were some Jews down through the church ages while the bride of Jesus Christ is being formed, and we're preaching Jesus Christ, and we're preaching the gospel, and we're preaching the Messiah has come. There were some true Jews that stayed true to their Jewish belief, and they were persecuted. And Brother Brandon talked about how Hitler put them in the chambers and killed lots of them. We know that story. Another bad story. Don't you worry, because they were blinded by God for our sake. Thank God they were for our sake. God's not forgot them. He'll bring them up at the white throne judgment as well, and they'll go into eternal life and walk out on the new earth just like the false virgin. God's got them covered. He gave them white robes. And they're not even sitting in punishment right now. They're in heaven just waiting to figure out what it all means. But one day they will. That's another eternal cloth, part of God's eternal cloth, brothers and sisters. Their names will remain on the Lamb's Book of Life. And to be there means you had to come from God in order to go back to God. I'm going to read one more class. Revelation of the 14th chapter. And they sung, as it were, a new song, verse 3, before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. You know what I've learned from God is he never put anything but chance in here. He gave white robes and stole and all. He put little symbols in here to let you know who people were. Another group of virgins. Clean. Eternal, part of God. These are they which followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits from God and to the Lamb. 144,000.
Who are these people?
Right.
Somebody might ask, what is this fruit? You see?
They're the tribe of Benjamin. They're Jews. Yes. They're Israel. 12,000 from every tribe that are going to be over there in Israel, in their homeland. Because any Jew believes going back to the homeland, still don't understand that Messiah's already come. And you know what God's had to do? He's had to use events in this world to push Israel back to true Israel. And not all Israel is Israel, the Bible says. if there's a true 144,000, true Israel, that will be alive and on this earth when we are raptured out of here. They'll be over there. They'll be real Jews. And you know who God's going to send to them? Moses and Elijah. He'll send them prophets again. Then they'll preach this message to them and let them know the Messiah has already come. And it has to be prophets. Why? Because any real Jew believes in his prophets. And it'll have Moses the lawgiver, and Elijah the prophet will be right there.
Amen.
And they won't be able to help but believe it, brother Childers.
They're not Gentiles. They're Jewish remnant.
Right. Jewish. If you went up to one of them today, they would want nothing to do with your Messiah.
Right.
They would tell you you break all kinds of laws because they're law keepers. They would tell you they're waiting on another prophet.
Right.
But one day they're going to get prophets, two prophets, and they're going to preach to them, and God will come back for them, and he'll take them with him. And here's the thing. They don't even go to the white throne judgment. They'll be transferred over to the wedding, after the wedding supper, over with us in the thousand-year millennium. Brother Brandon said they'll be right there in the millennium with us. Who are they? They'll be servants, and they'll be happy to serve us. That's what they are. They'll be glad to take care of us. And they'll be right there with us.
Amen.
That's why I told you God's a good storyteller. But this is real.
Right.
And you don't hear this talk.
No. People don't know how to rightly divide these things, but we do. Amen. And those people had to be foreknown of God, and their names will remain on the book of life. Just like you. So I'm going to read a quote to summarize all this. But I want to bring in those two books one more time. There's one book, many sections. If you're eternal, your name will be on the Lamb's Book of Life. Because your first nature, born by sex, is on the Book of Life. Because God records all life. And there's some group of people, like Pharaoh, that weren't even in there, but it was recorded somewhere. Didn't even have a chance to get eternal life. But me, my name was transferred. Foolish virgins will have their names transferred. Old Testament saints have already got a new soul. On and on, these eternal class will have their names remain in that Book of Life. It's a beautiful story, and it's all playing out.
Up to the time. I preached it.
Right.
When nobody else was preaching it.
Right.
That's what you feel, cut your teeth on.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Hey. This has been preached.
Amen.
All right. Church Age book, two quotes, getting, and then I'm going to be done. Now, I'm sure that you have noticed, because I want to bring this in, that those whose names, because there's some people whose names were in the Book of Life and removed. Let's talk about them real quick. What you know is that those whose names were in the Book of Life were a part of the religious order that day that centered around the true God and worship, though they did not worship according to the truth. Like Judas, they didn't go all the way. See how Judas was chosen of God? He was instructed in truth. He shared knowledge of the mysteries. He had a ministry of power granted to him, and he healed the sick and cast out devils in Jesus' name. But when the showdown came, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost and receive the Spirit of God. You can be justified, you can be sanctified, but if that's where you stop, you did not go all the way. You have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire for this thing to be fully done in you. Judas didn't go the way. He was devoid of the Spirit. Make no mistake about it, a person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way. True baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Judas failed. Multitudes fell right there. And when they fail to go on in the Word, their names are taken off the Book of Life. You know the type of that? Million came out with Moses. Million came out of even denomination. Tasted of the heavenly gift. Tasted of the manna falling from heaven. But only two went into Canaan's land. The rest died in the wilderness.
Disconnected with doctrine. Doctrine.
Yeah.
And they can't preach you because of doctrine.
They're afraid. Last thing, and then I'm going to sit down. First of all, we know, and this is just Brother Bram summarizing it, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purpose in himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself that would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in judgment because sin cannot be imputed to her. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute in sin. But indeed, she shall be with him in the throne of judgment, judging the world, even angels. Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Secondly, there is another class. Their names are also in the Book of Life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. That's a general resurrection. That's exactly right.
But not in the Lamb's Book of Life.
So shall the fourth virgin
and
the righteous, as are spoken of in Matthew 25. In this class also are those that do not worship the beast or become involved in the Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again. But they will come up in the second resurrection and go into eternal life. Thirdly, there are borderline Christians, such as we saw in Israel coming out of Egypt. These had their names in the Book of Life and their works written in the books. These failed to obey God and being void of the Spirit, though even the signs and wonders were amongst them, will have their names removed out of the Book of Life. Amongst this group will be the ones like Judas who were entirely void of the Spirit, but are religious, will have manifestation in their lives, and though on the books were not in the elect, were not elected in him. Thank God we are. Such also are Balaam will be in that group. Fourth and finally, are the ones whose names have never been or will ever be written on books. Such are found in Revelations 17 and 8. I read that. I won't read it again. Jesus said that certain group would accept one who came in his own name that wouldn't, and is the Antichrist. And that is exactly what it says of them in Revelation 13 and 8. These were ordained of God, but not unto election. And with this group is such that are as Pharaoh. It says for him, even for this same purpose, as I raised these vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. None of these would be placed on the record of their life. I'm not saying that there is no record of them. No doubt there is some kind of record of them, but not in the records of life. Their purpose of existence has been dealt with slightly in the rest of this book, but we can add two more scriptures. The Lord hath made the wicked for the day of people.
Amen.
Classes of people. Bride. Glad a minute.
You don't hear this is connected with doctrine. And the denominational world, and even the people in this message, does not preach doctrine.
Amen.
The reason why we know so much about this is included doctrine.
Amen. Amen. We're the blessed group of people that's had the book open to us. First we saw ourselves, our own names in the book. And now we can rightly divide even these other classes and know who they are. So I wanted to talk about the classes of people, tie in the two books. God bless you.
Bless you, Brother Jeremiah. Wow, that was perfect. Tied exactly with Pastor Moore's message this morning,
yeah.
Talking about the Godhead. And you can talk about the classes of people when you understand the Godhead.
Yeah.
Because if you don't place yourself in the Godhead, don't worry about the classes of people. You don't even know if you're going to heaven, let alone another group of people.
Right.
And I love how you illustrate that. That was so perfect. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. And I'm just grateful that we can endure strong doctrine here. You know, like Paul said, you know, because there'll come a time when they won't want to endure that.
Right.
But it's that time is now,
yeah.
And we're able to endure sound doctrine here.
Yeah.
Come on up, musicians. You know, Brother Childers, you were talking about that night. That was probably maybe 15 years ago when he was talking about people, when he was having the Sunday night service. And I remember that because I was here and I got up and I was just as dumb as the backside of the barn. I was just as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. Like Pastor Moore says, I didn't know what I was doing or what I was saying. And I remember that evening. But the thing I love about it is that I'm here now. That just proves that God was taking care of me, you know. Because even when I didn't know, God was still watching out for me, and you know. And like Brother Jeremiah said, he was sincere. I was still sincere. I just didn't know. I didn't know, and it was just ignorance. But now I know, and I know what I believe, and I know what I have. That mistake will never happen again. You know we grew from that, and that's a beautiful testament to what God has been doing here. We've been growing not only just in our doctrine and understanding; it's been giving us a better foundation of what we got here. We know what we believe, and it makes us that much stronger. So I look at all these things, and I'm just grateful to be in this group, Grateful that God has always protected us. Grateful that God has always watched over us. And, you know, when you hear those things, you know, it's just another reminder that of why we don't have patience for people that can't take rebuke. I have zero patience if you can't take rebuke. Because what Brother Childers has done, what Pastor Moore has done, if you can't take rebuke, you're wasting your time. You are wasting your time. And then, you know, what it makes me look at is, you know, why would you even come to this church? Why would you even come here if you're not going to take what God's given out? You are literally wasting your time by coming here and not accepting the word of God. All you, it's the Ananias and Sapphira. You are coming into the face of God and denying it. I love it that I can come in here and I accept it. I can just receive it. He can't make it hot enough. He can't get strong enough to push me out of here. You can openly rebuke me in front of everybody, and I'll still be back the next service. Amen. You can tell me I didn't know what I was talking about, and I will be back, because this is where I get fed, and I need every word that God's given out. So God bless you, Brother Jeremiah. Thank you for that message. It tied perfect with Pastor Moore's message, and it just solidifies our doctrine that we get here so we know more about it. I want to sing The Meeting in the Air, if I can find the words of that. The song. There's going to be, I think that's the title. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Yeah, there it is. I found it. Page 94. You know, when they talked about that resurrection, that 30 to 40 days. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. You know, I love how Brother Jeremiah just tied that in there. It's just amazing when I see what the ministry does and how they can just boom, 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 tie these things so perfect. But, you know, when they were talking about the years, we're not spring chickens in this thing. You know, Brother Childers he went back to the Philippines after 20 years. He was right when he went there the first time. When he went back 20 years later, he had 20 years more of being right. When Pastor Moore went there, he had 20 more years of being right. So we're 20 years removed from that time. That's 40 plus years of being right. This thing is, so when you come in here with your wild cockamamie idea that you dreamed up somewhere, this thing has been right, 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 told the line, tested with ministers, preachers, theologians, doctors of divinity down the road, and you come in here with one service that you heard on the radio thinking you could change something? I'm sorry. This thing has been right for too long for anybody to take it away. So I love it. I love what we get here. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Page 94. Amen.
There is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ears. 'Twill be glorious, I do Bible. I can't wait. I should like to meet them all.